You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into another Orioles podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Orioles reporter, Brittany Giroli. And Brittany, we're going to get to the top 10 third base prospects in the game today. The Orioles checking in on that list that just came out from MLB Pipeline. I will talk a little bit about FanFest, which is coming up this weekend for Orioles fans. But let's start with another rumor mill kind of thing, and that is the continued need, really, for this Orioles team to get a left-handed hitter. Preferably, it could be an outfielder that plays good defense as well. And you start to hear rumors, and there's plenty of names out there and guys that kind of fit that bill. I thought one that was interesting was Jerrod Dyson. Obviously a little bit older now. He's never, you know, he's always been that speedster with the Royals. He's been on good teams. Does he fit that bill? Could he be a possibility?
I mean, he definitely could be a possibility. He certainly fits the bill. You know, I think he's coming off of off-season surgery. The good news for the Orioles, I think, is because this market has been so slow, they can kind of look at the free agent class when initially they thought a lot of these guys would already be off the board. They'd have to get a left-handed bat through trade. So he's a name that's intriguing. There's a lot of names that are still available that are intriguing. John Jay is a guy that they've liked the off-season's past. It's certainly a guy that they've discussed. There are definitely some interesting names still out there. And I've had a lot of people kind of ask, well, what about Austin Hayes? You know, isn't he going to play the outfield? Well, you know, they have a lot of right-handed hitting outfielders right now. They need a lefty to balance out that lineup. Chris Davis right now would be the only regular in Chance Cisco if he ends up making it and starting every day. That are guys who bat primarily from the left side. So they really need to find a way to even that out as best as they can.
As far as left field goes, I saw a story and looked up stats. From 2015 to 2017, the Orioles left field position has a negative 1.8 F-war. That's 29th in baseball. So, I mean, obviously, that's the spot. That's not a number you want from a corner outfielder, especially for an Orioles team that plays at Camden Yards, right? I mean, it would seem like you could find somebody that could be effective out in left field in that ballpark. They haven't been able to the last 3 years.
Yeah, and really right field has been a rotating carousel, if you will, since Nick Markakis left. And, you know, they were kind of concerned about health concerns with Nick Markakis, but, you know, he went to Atlanta and was just as durable as ever. So in hindsight, that probably wasn't the best idea to let him go. He was, you know, such a force, such an everyday, steady, consistent presence next to Adam Jones there in center. And, you know, since then, they've tried many names and no one has stuck. And right now they're hoping that they can find a solution, at least a one-year solution, so that they can have Mark Trumbo not play right field and really be their everyday DH instead.
Yeah, they had Markakis, they had Nelson Cruz on the other side there a few years ago. Those guys left, and it's been tough sledding as far as filling those roles. All right, I mentioned the top 10 third baseman in the game. Ryan Mountcastle of the Orioles checked in at number 8 on MLB Pipeline's list. Mountcastle was a 2015 first-round pick. He's the number 3 prospect in the Orioles system. And Brittany, he's just 20 years old, got up to Double-A in 2017. So that's a pretty good pace to be on, anybody that can get some significant time at Double-A at that age. How far away do you think Mountcastle is?
Maybe a year. I think maybe 2019 you can start talking about Mountcastle, especially because they have so many pending free agents, guys that they could lose. They stand to lose a lot of guys over the next year or two if they don't make any long-term deals. But a guy like Mountcastle, what's most impressive to me is that he's actually a shortstop. I mean, he transitioned this year to third base, and defense was kind of a question. They do like his abilities better at third base. He was able to get some more seasoning towards the end of the year there. He also played in the AFL, Arizona Fall League, did really well there. So, you know, they don't question his bat. They feel like he's going to hit in the major leagues. The question was always, where is he going to play? And it looks like they found kind of a perfect position for him right now at third.
Interesting for an infielder moving from shortstop to third base with the Orioles, because obviously you would think the guy that he could end up replacing in Baltimore is Manny Machado, who was originally a shortstop and moved over to third base. Although, is Manny still lined up at this point to play shortstop in 2018? Is that still the question? Are we waiting for that official announcement, or do you think that is going to be the case?
Yeah, we're waiting for that official announcement. I haven't heard anything. Yeah. Buck hasn't said anything definitively, so we just kind of hang out and wait and see what happens. But certainly it would complicate matters if they were to move him over.
Yeah, certainly would. So Mountcastle getting closer, and he's a young guy. Yeah. And it's another sign, Brittany, right, that this system's getting a little better. We've mentioned him, Austin Hayes, obviously, Chance Cisco. All three of those guys made it into Baseball America's top 100 prospects. MLB Pipeline's top 100 will be unveiled on Saturday. I would think there's a pretty good chance all three of them would be in that list as well. That's a better spot than the Orioles have been in recent years.
Yeah, they are. They are doing better. I feel like, you know, there's certainly some gaps, but the one thing that they've been able to do over the years consistently is produce bullpen pieces. They've got a bunch of homegrown guys who they've been able to produce. Zach Britton is one. Michael Gibbons, converted infielder, is another. And Donnie Hart. They've got some. Hunter Harvey is another guy on the horizon. They've got some intriguing pieces. They're finally in a spot where they're able to make an impact trade if they need to. The real issue now is depth. You know, they could make an impact trade, like I mentioned, but it would cripple them once again for a few years if they were to deal away three or four of their top guys. So they are building. They are getting better. I think depth is still the real big issue. If one of these guys doesn't pan out, et cetera, then they kind of run into a problem.
For Baseball America, they had Hayes number 21, Cisco 68, and Mountcastle 71 in their top 100. FanFest is coming up. I think it's at the Convention Center this weekend, and almost every team does this at this point. If not a FanFest, there's some kind of caravan where they get out and get around. This is one of the bigger weekends on the schedule. I think eight different teams are having their FanFests, including the Orioles, and it's a chance for obviously players and fans to mingle a little bit. And I would think for the Orioles, it's going to be an interesting fan fest.
Yeah, it is for a couple of reasons. One, they haven't made any moves, so certainly fans are going to be a little angry, and certainly that question's going to come up for Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter. And two, Manny Machado is a guy who hasn't spoke since these trade rumors have dominated pretty much their entire winter. Very interesting to hear what he has to say. Zach Britton is a guy who hasn't really spoken much since his Achilles surgery as well. So it's always kind of a good time to kind of gauge where this team is. Usually they've made at least one or two moves. And even if they haven't made moves, then they've been, you know, really rumored in a lot more things. This has been a very quiet winter, and that should make for a pretty interesting fan fest when all is said and done.
You mentioned the players. Does Buck usually get some time in front of a microphone during fan fest?
Oh, he does. He charms that crowd. He does a nice job with that. Him and Duquette have a season ticket holder thing. That's about an hour before most fans are able to get in, where they address season ticket holders. That usually produces one of the better Q&As of the day. So it should, like I said, it should be pretty interesting, even though they haven't done anything.
Buck is fascinating to me because just dealing with him a few, you know, at spring training, you're never sure what attitude he'll be in and what kind of mood. Sometimes he's charming. Sometimes he doesn't really want to be there, but I feel like for FanFest, he brings the A game, right?
He totally does, yes. He is very charming and brings the A game for FanFest. And, you know, it's a good time. It's a good time for fans to kind of see these players, see their personalities a little bit more than they would otherwise.
One more thing that was announced just today, as far as looking ahead to baseball actually being played on the field, is that the club will once again be playing an exhibition game in Norfolk March 26th against the Tides, their AAA team. And this is kind of becoming a tradition. I think it's the fourth time in seven seasons. What is it about Norfolk and that area and that team? Obviously, it's one of their affiliates, but I guess it makes sense on the way north to hit one spot where it's not quite as cold as it might be in Baltimore. But is that a good draw, that game, usually?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun for Norfolk fans. I don't think a lot of, you know, Baltimore fans make the trip down for that. But it's cool from the AAA perspective. I know a lot of the players really enjoy it at the AAA, being able to, you know, see these guys, share the field with them. Hey, it's a cool moment. And again, a lot of these guys on the AAA team, you're going to see for large chunks during the season. So it's a good look at some of the guys who might be the second line of defense, so to speak. And it has become a little bit of an annual tradition. So it's pretty cool to see. They generally fly. It's a pretty quick trip. They generally fly right to Camden Yards from there to come home. But it's kind of a nice end of spring training type of thing. The guys know when they head to Norfolk that, you know, that's it. Spring training is over and the games are getting ready to start for real.
Yeah, interesting, because a lot of those AAA guys will have spent most of the spring with the big league club as well. And you said it, a lot of those guys are going to be up in Baltimore because nobody manipulates the roster as far as AAA and the big leagues like Buck and Duquette do. And so they're faces that fans certainly will get to see a lot of. And it's probably cool for the major leaguers, too, that went through the system to kind of go back to the AAA ballpark where they probably spent some time on the way up. All right, this has been MLB.com Extras, our Orioles edition. For Brittany Giroli, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.